Please turn to Joshua chapter 24. That's sort of toward the beginning of your Bible, just after Deuteronomy. So somewhere along there, my Bible there, it's pretty early on, Joshua. We're going to look at the last chapter, 24 chapters in this book. It's a wonderful book, and the reason why, it's not that we've stopped looking at the Gospel of John. We're going to get back to the Gospel of John. But we're in the building project month, where every year the elders and the building committee want us to focus for some time on this huge project that our church is undertaking. It's no small matter. And every one of you, whether you're in middle school or you're well out of school, matters to this. And so we want to recalibrate every year and get a sense of why are we doing this and what it's all about. As we enter into this message, this passage in the Bible, though, I have a question for you. If everything that you had, everything that you possessed, okay, was going to be destroyed, but you could have one thing, what would you keep? Okay, everything's going to, I'm not saying actually this is not going to happen. Some of you are looking like, really? Just kidding. No one was looking at it like that. Everything is going to be destroyed. What would you keep? Joshua 24, beginning in verse 1. This is the word of God, the sword of the Holy Spirit. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. And I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it, and afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and made the sea come upon them and over them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the leaders of Jericho fought against you. And also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hevites, and the Jebusites. And I gave them into your hand. And I set the hornet before you, which drove them out before you. The two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear Yahweh and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." This is the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this revelation. We thank you first for what you did in human history, in everything that Joshua described, Lord. Amongst this little tiny people group, Israel, you did these mighty things for them and therefore for all the world. We thank you for your word that gives us the meaning of your actions in the world, that tells us how to understand them, and in doing so helps us understand ourselves, helps us understand Jesus and what it means to live as your people in our day. Please grant us understanding now in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I see a show of hands of people who've read The Hobbit? No? People who saw the movie of The Hobbit? Wow, okay. Everybody who only saw the movie, you've got to go read the book because the book is so much better than the movie. But many of you then are familiar with the story. Briefly, there's a hobbit, and a hobbit is just a very small creature who loves to feast and have fun, and they're quiet and don't like to meddle in much. This is a tale, a fantasy tale, that was written by J.R.R. Tolkien, a Christian. And anyway, so this hobbit gets invited into an adventure to go steal some gold or get back some gold from a dragon. He's traveling with dwarves and a wizard, and there's, of course, trolls and all kinds of danger that encompass them on this adventure to go and get this gold. And at one point, they're in a cave, and they think they're sort of safe, but all of a sudden the cave opens, and they get sucked in or pulled in by these goblins. And they finally escape the goblins. They're being chased by the goblins as they go deeper and deeper into the darkness of the caverns in these mountains. And at one point, the main hobbit, Bilbo, jumps on the back of a dwarf as they're all running in this dark cavern trying to get away from these goblins who are coming to destroy them. And one of the goblins goes and tries to grab one of these dwarves, and he bumps that dwarf, and Bilbo goes careening off of his shoulder deeper and deeper into the darkness of the caverns of these mountains. When he gets there, he meets somebody, Gollum. Gollum was a creature who at one point was normal, happy, healthy, lived in the bright sunshine and light of the world with other human beings, or others of his kind. Of course, there's all kinds of different creatures in Middle Earth, the setting for this book. But at one point, Gollum comes across a possession, a ring. And this ring becomes his chief, his main, his happiest possession that he has. But because of the power of this ring, this possession comes to possess him, really. And he so values this ring and the powers that it has that he doesn't want to share it with anybody else. And so this possession drives him away from the sunshine and the light and all of his friends and his family down into the darkness, deeper and deeper into the caverns of the mountains, all alone. So that all he cares about is this one possession. And in all of that, he becomes a very deformed and sad creature. Our possessions can do this to us. Possessions are doing this to people every day of their lives. When things that we have become more important than family or friends, but especially what I want to point out, more important than the God who gave them to us. When they become the thing that we could never let go of, it drives us deeper and deeper into the darkness. Our relationships become deformed. In fact, it changes us as our possessions end up owning us more than we own them. But in the Holy Scripture, we learn how to possess things the right way. What we see in this passage today is that God gives us possessions to serve Him. God gives us possessions to serve Him. Namely, in this book of Joshua, the main possession is the land. That's the whole purpose, really, of Joshua. One of the main reasons for Joshua is telling us about how God, who promised land to Israel, has been faithful to give them that land. In verse 24:1, it says, Joshua gathers them all at Shechem. Now, why Shechem? Was it just a nice, big, open space with enough room for all of Israel to gather there with their elders and so on? Well, certainly it was a good place, but the reason why is it has historical importance. Because when God called Abraham out of darkness to follow him, he took him to Shechem, and at Shechem, God said to Abram, and I'll read this for us. Let me read the whole passage, actually, of God's promises. It says in Genesis 12, 1 and following, Now the Lord said to Abram, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran, and Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then Yahweh appeared to Abram and said, To your offspring I will give this land. Shechem is where God promised he would be faithful to give this great gift of land to the people. And now God has been faithful to keep his promises. Just as he said, here they are. So Joshua commemorates that historical moment and brings the people there and reminds them through the story of how God has been faithful from Abraham all the way in bringing them this land. And of course, it's not just land. At the end, he mentions olives and wine, all the things that come with it. Effectively, the land is where they get everything they have. All their tablets, all their phones, all their computers, all their cars, all their stuff, their toys, you know, their clothing, right? Where are they going to get clothes? From the sheep? Where are they going to get milk? From the cows and the sheep? And where are they going to, get their houses and build things? And the rocks and the trees and... How are they going to have anything to trade for the things they want coming along possibly the Silk Road or from the Mediterranean Sea by using the things they have in their possession in the land? So the land is a possession that stands for all their possessions, right? And when God does that, does he say, all right, guys, it has been awesome. This was the greatest adventure I've ever had, I got to say. In all eternity, Israel, this was great. Now, I gave you that land, like I said. I'm obviously a really nice guy. Peace out. I'm going to go do something somewhere else. Okay, you guys do what you want with it. No. What is the purpose? What's the land for? And that's what Joshua encourages him with next. He says, Serve the Lord. Serve Yahweh. This land and all the possessions that come with it is for a greater purpose. It is about responding to the God who made them, who has blessed them, who has loved them, shown compassion for them, been incredibly generous towards them, who watches over them like a mother hen over her chicks, a God who is enormous in his kindness to give them these things, and then is so enormous in his kindness in not letting those possessions then become their gods, but saying, all these things are so that you might be most free by serving me. This is how we will truly enjoy the things we possess, when we use them to serve God. Whatever you have, whatever that thing is that you felt like it was all going to be destroyed, the goblins were going to get all of it, but you get to keep one thing, that one thing that you get to keep, that might be the thing that might drive you deep into the caverns of the darkness and away from the Lord. It doesn't mean you have to get rid of it, but I want you to think about, how can I use this in service to God? Because it's been given to me for that purpose. And when I use it for that purpose, I will find that I enjoy it more than I ever have before. But of course, this is related to the building too. Back in the 50s, this building was built by Munson Hill Presbyterian Church. There was no Chinese Christian Church of Virginia. Our church began under a tree, maybe four families gathering together to worship. And eventually they came here and they said, could we use the blue room? Could we start worshiping there? And as the Chinese Christian Church of Virginia began to grow in the blue room, Munson Hill Presbyterian began to dwindle. And eventually they offered us the building at a very low rate. And we bought the building. And so now God has given us the gift of this land, of this building, and even given us the gift of possibly having a building here on the corner of Glenmore and Route 7. These are wonderful possessions to have. And maybe it seems strange. How could Israel get land and then maybe turn that land into something that would drive them away from God, which is what they did in history? Strangely enough, it might seem like it could never happen, but is it possible that this land that we have and the building program and this new building could actually be possessions that could lead us away from God? Maybe not fully and completely, but is it possible that, especially if you're involved maybe on a deeper level with the building program, that the building becomes more important than God and is called to be faithful to Him and is called to love Him above all and love neighbor as self? We need to be very careful. This land and this building is about serving Him, just as all your possessions are. And think about it, who is better to serve in all the world? You know, there's a famous song, forget who sang it. He said, everybody is going to serve somebody, and that's absolutely true. When you think you're not actually serving anybody but yourself, you are most deceived. Everyone's got to serve somebody. The question is who? Are you going to serve your phone, your car, your 403B? Did they lay down their life for you? I'm just asking. We have a God who calls us to serve Him. And our God took everything that He had, everything that He had, and He gave it up to serve us. Jesus Christ, on the night that He was betrayed, broke the bread and said, this is my body, broken for you. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. On the same night, He took the cup and He said, this is my blood, the blood of a new covenant. Take and drink, all of you. God the Son became man, and He took everything He had to serve God with that, by serving us. And He calls us now in His ineffable glory to to learn His way to. So as we partake of this meal this morning, may we take into ourselves the same mind of Christ, that everything that we have is best used and best enjoyed when it's used in the service of the King.